Amen. Shedding the blood and the remission of sin. Father, we know the only righteousness that we have comes through you. Father, we just pray that you would help us to show your love, Father, to be your witness to the people around us. And Father, we just pray, especially even now, for this block party. Father, it's a time that we can reach out to people. Father, we just pray that we'll be able to show your love. Father, watch over and protect us. In the name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
I had a song all worked up this morning, but I practiced downstairs. I better wait. Plus, I'm not feeling real good. So, but Brother Gary, come on and bless us this morning, please.
Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Hope you get the feeling better. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Okay.
Well, first day on the job, I'll try not to disappoint you too badly, and hope that in the coming weeks, while you're looking for a pastor, that the Lord can use me mightily in your midst, and that we can see souls saved.
Amen.
And I'd just like to see a long line standing back here at this baptistry in the coming months. People being saved and following the Lord in believer's baptism, and get the field ready for the next man to come in and bring a sharp axe and be ready to really cord some wood here at Boone's Creek. It's good to be a part of your services, and any time that you have a need, anything that I can help you with, don't fear to call on us. We make ourselves available. I want to talk to you this morning about being nosy. Now, it's all right. It's all right to be nosy, provided you're spiritually nosy.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Go searching and looking in the Word of God. I'll steal Brother, where's Brother Larry? Here he is. Larry told me this story sitting around there. Larry Harris told me this story sitting around the campfire many years ago. I don't know whether he'll remember it or not, about a nosy neighbor. There was a fellow who went squirrel hunting regularly. Never took a shotgun, a rifle, not even a grapple flip, not even a ball bat. And he would take a grass sack and leave off going squirrel hunting, be gone a while, and come back, and he'd have a sack full of squirrels every trip. And it just got the best of the neighbor. I mean, the neighbor watched him go and watched him trot off to the woods without any kind of weapon, anything to bring back his harvest of squirrels. And it just got the better of him. So finally, at last, he went over and asked the neighbor. He said, "If it's any of my business, you're just killing me, going off without a gun or a bow and arrow, or a ball bat, or gravel. You take nothing but a grass sack, come back with all kinds of squirrels. And I'd just like to know how you do it." He said, "Well, you're right on the first point. It's none of your business." Well, you know what that did to him. That just enhanced his hunger to know what was going on. And so he watched him another two or three trips off to the woods, came back with a sack of squirrels. And finally, he couldn't stand it any longer. Being the nosy neighbor he was, he watched him leave with his sack, and he sneaked off into the woods. And the fellow went out and sat down under a big hickory tree and sat there a few minutes, and a squirrel come running out of limb, and the old man looked up at it, and it fell down on the ground. He got up, put it in his sack. A few minutes later, another one ran out, and then another and another, and by the time you had four or five squirrels in the sack, the neighbor jumped out behind the bushes, and he said, "I know it's wrong of me to be nosy. Now I've seen it, and I still don't understand it." He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I told you it wasn't any of your business. He said, "Have you ever seen an uglier man than me in these parts of the world?" He said, "No, I haven't." He said, "I ugly them squirrels." He said, "Land sakes, I've never seen anything to beat that in my life." I would bet that you're the only person in this entire state that can ugly a squirrel. He said, "No, you're wrong." He said, "I am." He said, "Yeah, my wife's a little better at it than I am." Oh, gosh, she breaks them up too bad. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to that little postcard over the latter part. It's not really a letter. It's a postcard. Jude. You can back up to it. Revelation and Jude will be right there. And it's just one chapter, so we're going to look at verse 11 is our text verse. As we look this morning, he identifies himself as a servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. Now, I believe if you will go to Matthew chapter 13, down about verse 55, that you'll find that our Lord Jesus had several brothers, four of them, I believe, and some sisters. And it identifies James and Jude as brothers of Jesus. Now, I think that's the James and the Jude that wrote the book of James and the book of Jude. I think they were brothers. They don't identify themselves as brothers of Jesus, as physical half-brothers of Jesus, and I've studied after a lot of teachers, and I believe I understand why. You see, when Jesus was here doing his earthly ministry, these brothers weren't even converted. It was only after his crucifixion and his resurrection did they understand that their half-brother was the Messiah. Probably a lot of sibling rivalry took place, as it does in any family. I grew up in the shadow of my sister, 2 years older, Beta Club, straight A's. And my teachers all would ask me the same question, "Why can't you be more like your sister?" I got tired of hearing that. How would you like to have been a sibling of Jesus? Why can't you be more like your brother? Amen.
Amen.
I would like to be more like my brother Jesus.
Right.
I'm an adopted son.
Right.
And I'd like to be more like him, but I know I shall never be his likes. I have a spiritual test every time I get to feeling more about myself than I ought to. I go over to the pool and try walking on water. I always choose the shallow end. Maybe that's where my faith is lacking. But I want to be more like Jesus every day, don't you?
Right. Amen.
Less like me, that's more right. Like Jesus. Well, Jude, this sibling to Jesus, once he became saved, he classified himself here as a servant of Jesus Christ. I like that.
That's right.
Long time ago, I quit calling him Lord, and I quit calling him Father, And I started calling him Master. He's my master. He's the boss at our house.
Amen.
And the sweetest time you will ever have in your home is when Jesus becomes the master.
Amen.
Talked about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning. In Jude, he deals with a problem that had already begun and was going to worsen, apostasy. It's going to worsen and worsen and worsen. Going to be false teachers, false prophets. I've never heard the like of people who are telling us today they've had an encounter with God. And they're telling us in books and pamphlets and all kinds of papers what God has said to them. Now you rest assured this morning that God never changes. He's immutable. If he ever changes, listen to me, if he ever changes, he gives up the right to be God. Never changes. He's the same today, yesterday, and today, and will be tomorrow.
That's right.
He's steadfast.
Amen.
And so as we read this, we find that there's so many latter-day prophets that are telling us things that are apostate. They're heresy. They don't go along with what he's already written down. So that makes them heretics. Be careful. Be careful. I want you. I advise you. I beg you. I implore you to test me every time I stand behind this sacred desk. You make sure it's what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And we'll go places.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
But if we wander away from this book, we're gonna be in major trouble. If you're able, I know many are not, but if you are able, I would ask you to stand for the reading of just one verse, the 11th verse. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the era of Balaam for reward, and perish in the gainsaying of Korah. Let's pray. Master, thank you for this word. Move upon our hearts. Challenge our souls this day. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
The word woe there is oyaya. In the Greek, and it was a word of excited warning. It was as though one who come running across the stage, waving both hands, saying, "Beware, beware, woe." We need to beware, he says, for they have gone the way of Cain. As I read this, of course, we know that Cain and Abel, the two sons of Adam and Eve, we go back to the time when they had been dislodged or dispersed from the Garden of Eden, and now they're out there. Wandering in the wilderness, curse has been put upon them, and they're teaching their sons. Now, there's something that we need to establish early on. The way of Cain, it is not what it seems to most. I want to give you two things right off. First of all, Cain believed in God. He believed in God. You see, these days, what circulates through our universities and being taught to our young folk is that as long as you believe that there is a supreme being, you're all right. Doesn't matter what name you call him by. It doesn't matter what particular handle you put on him, whether it be Buddha or Hinduism or on and on throughout the world. That's not scriptural, folks.
That's right.
That's not scripture. If the folks who are bowing a knee this morning to Buddha are all right, why in the world am I, as a Southern Baptist, concerned about sending a missionary to try to rescue the perishing and care for the dying? They're in trouble, folks.
That's right.
According to the word of God, Jehovah God, there is only one way.
Amen.
That you're going to satisfy the needs of your soul, and that's God's way.
That's right.
The second thing about Cain is not only did he believe in God, but he was a religious man. And you say, preacher, where do you get this idea? He came in chapter 5 of Genesis. He came before God with an offering that was not prescribed by God. He was a religious man. He believed in God. He brought an offering to God. And so we better get back to being spiritually nosy and diving into the Word of God and finding out exactly what it takes to get to heaven.
Right.
Now, I went to Knoxville several years ago, not for shock treatment, should have got some, but I didn't. I went to Knoxville to hear Billy Graham. Young preacher, just started out pastoring my first church, took several of the church, and we went down to Knoxville to hear Billy Graham. Here I am, a young preacher, and I get mad at Billy. I get mad. I'm a young, aspiring preacher and so proud that they would take the likes of me to be their pastor, and I just still do. They hold a special place in my heart. I still go back for revivals and homecomings and stuff, and they just, little Milligan is always going to hold a special place in my heart. They were the ones who opened their door and said, we believe God is calling you as our pastor. I love them, but still do. Love those people. Billy got up that evening down at Knoxville and he said this: 80% of Christendom is going to die and go to hell. What he was relating to me was 8 out of 10 of my people were lost and headed for hell. I took offense at that. Now, I was dumb to be trying to take issue with Billy Graham, but I was smart in the fact that I came home. I was going to write Billy a blistering leather. I was a good Baptist. I had that. I was going to shake him up a little bit and tell him that he was miserably wrong. As I began to look in the scripture, I found out that the only thing Billy had a problem with was his math. You turn this afternoon and read it, or this coming week, make that your Bible study. Chapters 24 and 25 of the Gospel according to Matthew says there were 10 virgins waiting on the bridegroom. Folks, if that ain't the church, I'll eat your hat. Amen. Who are we waiting on? We're waiting. We're the bride of Christ. We're waiting on Jesus to come and get the church. He's the bridegroom. We're the bride. He said, now, five of those virgins took oil in their vessel. And oil in the scripture is synonymous with the Spirit of God. They had the Spirit of God in their vessel. He likens our body to be a vessel wherein the Holy Spirit, the day we get saved, immediately, instantaneously, when we invite Jesus to come into our heart and we repent towards sin and self and ask Jesus to come into our heart, He moves it. Amen. Takes up residency in this old vessel.
Right.
He said, now five took the Spirit of God in their vessel. The other five had no oil, and they slumbered during the night, and when the bridegroom came, he opened the door, and the five with the Holy Spirit, the five with oil in their vessel, was taken in, and the five without the oil in the vessel was left outside. Mm-hmm. Now, do you get the picture? He's likening these virgins to being the church. So the scripture tells us that 50%, where I went to school over at Happy Valley, 5 out of 10, that's 50%. Amen?
That's right.
50% of those in the church are going to miss the rapture. Do you realize that when the rapture takes place, that many churches around our area, their worship service is not going to be touched? Wow. Is that a sobering thought? We're not talking about the drunkard and the harlot and the drug pushers and all the different kinds of sin that we think about. We're talking about the church.
Right.
Half of the church. Left behind. Wow. Now that'll make you spiritually nosy.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You start snooping around that this week if you read. So he said they've gone the way of Cain. What was his way? Let's look at it real quick. Number one, his way was man's opinion versus God's opinion.
That's right.
Man's opinion versus God's opinion. There is a way, the scripture says, that seemeth to be right. I mean, whenever you have a thought, whenever you come up with a doctrine, whenever you come up with a philosophy, you better check it out with the scripture.
Amen.
I like philosophy. Have you ever studied much philosophy? Oh, I've put these things together for years. A bulldog can whip a skunk every time, but is it worth it? It's all right to hop as long as you're not walking on eggs. It's all right to have egg on your face provided you're getting up from breakfast. You can come up with 1,000 philosophies. The Greeks were great philosophers. You can come up with 1,000 of them. But you better check them out here, for they're only mere opinions of man until you read it in this book.
Amen.
He had an opinion. You know what his opinion was? You miss it. What did he bring? Abel brought the lamb. He had been taught by mom and daddy. They had sinned. They had disobeyed God. And immediately they were condemned. And God came and showed them the only way their sinfulness and their shame could be covered was for an animal to die. They tried a leaf offering. That's vegetable. But a little animal had to die and shed its blood in order for them to be clothed properly. That was a forerunner to Christ. He was pointing them 4,000 years ahead to the coming Son of God, who would go and hang upon a cruel cross and shed his blood that man might be saved.
Amen.
Well, Abel brought the sheep as he had been taught. When you come before God, do it God's way. You bring the sheep, which is the forerunner to Christ. He must be put to death. You must put your hands on the little sheep and impute your sins into the sheep. And the sheep must be taken out and slaughtered. Its blood must be shed. And that's a typology of Christ.
That's right.
What did Cain bring? He is a farmer. He is proud. You see, what Cain was declaring with his offering is, I'm not a sinner. I'm all right. I don't need any blood shed for me because I've done nothing wrong. I talk to people regularly these days about their soul and start talking to them. And you see, they declare, I'm all right, preacher. I haven't robbed a bank. I haven't killed anybody in Dallas, Texas. I haven't taken a Mack truck and run over 80 people in a foreign land. I'm a pretty good guy. No, we're sinners.
That's right.
Condemned, according to John 3:17 and 18. Condemned already. That means you've been tried, you've been found guilty, and you have been sentenced, booked for hell. The Ten Commandments, everybody gets all messed up with them. The Pharisees did. They were never given to make a people right.
That's right.
They were never. When Moses brought down, they had been 400 years in Egypt. Man, guys that I went to high school with left here and went up into Indiana and up in New York and Boston, Baltimore, around and worked, and they come back to our class reunion, I can't even understand them. They if you're from up north, I apologize. But they've gone Yankee on me. They can't speak hillbilly no more. And they talk stuff. I don't even know what they're saying. I listen. And they've only been there a few years. Israel had been down in Egypt 400 years. They thought everything was okay because they was comparing themselves to their neighbors who were pagan. Wow. God said, they don't even realize they're lost. I'm going to send these commands down and tell them the heart of God. And when they see them, they're going to know they're in trouble. It was to get them lost, not get them saved.
Right.
You see what's wrong with the world today? They don't know they're lost.
That's right.
Everything's all right. I'm a good Joe. I'm a good Mary. Everything's all right. No, it's not. Not without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, it's not.
Amen.
The only thing right about me as I stand before you this morning is I have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who came and died for the sins of the world.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me hurry on. It was a human opinion, willful ignorance. One thing to be ignorant, it's another thing to be willfully ignorant. Amen?
That's right.
I mean, you have to work at it, brother.
Yeah.
You've got to go. Do you understand? I left here going to Vietnam as lost as anybody could have ever been lost. I was raised in a pastor's home, still lost. My mother prayed for me every day, still lost. My grandmother prayed for me every day, still lost. Went to church, still lost. Became a member of the church, still lost. Been baptized, still lost. Wow. Really? That's true. I had to go over the prayers and the preaching and the teaching that I'd heard for years. I was willfully ignorant. Every time my wife was married, every time that she wanted me to go to church, I hate to tell them this, but over at Sinking Creek Baptist Church, there were some guys in there as sorry as I was. And every time Sarah would say, will you go to church with me? I'd say, you know so-and-so down there at St. Creek. Yeah? Well, let me tell you something. They say they're going to heaven. And I'm every bit as good a man as they are. They go to the same places I go to. They partake of the same things I do. And honey, if they're all right, I'm all right. I was willfully ignorant. The reason I'm saying that is all I had to do was pick up this Bible, and it clears away all the cobwebs, and it tells me without Christ, I'm lost and headed for hell.
Amen.
Heard. Utter rejection. The way of Cain was utter rejection. He was not going to offer to God the way God said that it had to be offered. He's going to do it his way. You remember that guy? He used to sing back in the 60s. What was his name? Love Me Tender? Yeah, I see you smiling, girls. You know who I'm talking about. You know where Elvis Presley began? Church choir.
Yeah. Right.
Where he got his start. Should have stayed there.
Right.
Old fellow over at the Unicoi, one of his pastors over there, he had just died. And he asked me, he said, preacher, what do you think killed him? I said, I suspect it was drugs. He said, that wasn't what it was. I said, what was it? He said, he shook something loose. He may have been correct. Do you know what his last hit was on the charts? did it my way. That runs short fuse all over me. You can do it your way, folks. But you still gotta be the holy and righteous God. Utter rejection, unyielding pride. He was unreasonable. He was full of hatred. He continually quarreled with right and wrong. But he found himself in divine condemnation. You see, God didn't only reject his offering. He rejected the man. You with me? You know what the most popular idea going around America today is? Hide the gospel. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's hide the gospel. He is love. But he is a just, holy, and righteous God that one day is going to stand and judge the world of not how good a guy or gal you were, but what you did with Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
And to those, 7:21 in Matthew's gospel said, they began to argue in that day and began to say, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? He didn't dispute them.
That's right.
You know what prophesying? The equivalent of preachers. You know there's preachers going to die and go to heaven. Sure are. Get in it for the wrong reason, do it your own way, going to heaven. I don't care how many degrees you have. You can have more degrees than a thermometer and still die and go to heaven.
That's right.
But Lord, I didn't prophesy, but I did many wonderful works in your name. Did you see those casseroles? I made those casseroles. I carried them all over the community. I took them to sick folks. I took them where there was a death. My soul, every chicken in the country was afraid to see me. Still wrong. Listen to this one. I cast out devils in your name. Do you know Jesus not one time says that that's untrue? Do you know it's possible to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to a soul and see them redeemed and still die and go to heaven? Yeah. Just because you're a pharmacist don't mean you ain't going to get sick.
Right.
You're doling out the medicine that's going to cure some people. But it don't mean that you're not susceptible to the same disease or germ.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. And in that day, he said, listen to this. The world don't want to hear this. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew. Have you been to the cross? Have you had a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ? If not, you're in trouble.
Right.
You're in trouble. Have you been saved? Have you been to the cross? But here lately, you begin to get your theology out of somebody's latest book. Be careful whose book you're in.
Right.
There's some folks out there that give you some left-handed curves. Mm-hmm. Only this book shows us the way.
Amen.
Be spiritually nosy. Look in the book. Test your religion test your belief in God, test your understanding of God against the scriptures. Heads bowed. Master, right now in the quietness of this moment, thank you, Jesus, for showing us in a faraway place called Vietnam. You showed us that we were ready to live. We had a lot of things going, but we weren't ready to die. Thanks be unto you, today I'm ready to die. Things have been made ready because of the finished work of Calvary. I pray now, thy will be done in every heart. Right now, hearing this invitation. Boy, girl, man, or woman, no matter what the age, if there's a need, I pray you will impress upon them to come this night. Yes. In Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand? Who wants to be first?
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's as simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess Him as your Savior. And you can pray a prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on website, WindsCreekBaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.